And now comes the second, the follow-up question, and say, conversationally, please, because this could be stress-producing, they say, you know, that you know very well that all people have strengths and weaknesses, all people have certain pluses and minuses, and you only gave me three of the positive adjectives which describe me. Maybe you could talk to me about the three negative. Give me three negative which describe you well. And then listen carefully. That's a very difficult question. Say it reassuringly. Explain that we all have pluses and minuses. But listen carefully. How well does that person know himself? Or does he know himself at all? I remember that I have interviewed a significant number of people who didn't have the vaguest idea who they are and couldn't describe themselves. They always come with a couple of three positives. But then when it comes to really knowing yourself, really knowing yourself and saying something which is negative, either they are don't know or they are unwilling to say. Both of them is meaningful. In general, may I point out to you, that the person who is unintrospective, introspection is the ability to know yourself, who is unintrospective is a person who usually doesn't care who he is, and therefore usually doesn't care who other people are, and these are poor managers. A person who is not interested as to what makes yourself tick is a person who is not interested what makes you tick, and therefore that person cannot manage sensitively another person. People who are totally unintrospective are poor managers. They cannot motivate well either, for the same reason. And let's skip number 13 and go to number 14. Number 13 we're skipping because of time and also because it's directly related to that. 14, describe how you feel about giving praise. May I point out to you that it is a psychologically tested phenomenon that people who are secure, internally secure, have an easier time giving praise than people who are basically not secure. And therefore, we are not saying, do you give praise or not praise, because we don't want to know that. We want to know, how do you feel about giving praise? And I would like to give you an answer which I get once in a while, which alarms me. And that is, I don't give praise. I don't need to do that. People know when I don't say anything, everything is cool. That's to do a good job, that's what I pay them for. I wonder about that person, because there is certainly an insensitivity, and most of the time you'll find out that that represents an insecure person himself. Foot 15, is there any question about that? How do you criticize your subordinates? Criticizing subordinates, and incidentally that is in your private life as well, criticizing your spouse, must be girlfriend Dr. Stern, criticizing your children is a highly sensitive and skillful endeavor. Simply because if you criticize aggressively, the wall goes up and you can talk as much as you want, the person will just get defensive. That's all. So therefore, the ability to criticize is something very important, particularly when you are hiring somebody who is for a managerial position. And I'd like to give you an example of a question I ask in relation to that. I use that very frequently and has put me in very good stead. I say, let's suppose there's Joe in your organization and he screwed up four times on the same thing. You now make a decision. I'm saying this to the candidate. You are now making a decision that you're calling in Joe and say to him, Joe, this is the last time. Once more and you're out. Now, if you had made that decision about Joe, and you call in Joe, there are two ways of criticizing Joe. One of them is you can say, Joe, please sit down. Joe's a little nervous. And then you reassure him and say something nice about Joe, and then you come to the issue and he gets it. Or you can do it the other way around. You can call in Joe, and you give it to him up front, and so that his ego won't be deflated and he won't quit, And then the reality says, however, otherwise you're a very good boy. You're saying something first. In one case, you're saying something negative, positive first, negative later. And in the second, you have a choice. You can say something negative first and then positive. Which would you prefer? That's my question. No, no, I'm not asking you. You're asking that the candidate. Which would you prefer? So the candidate has only two choices. If the candidate says, out of the two, I would prefer this. The follow-up question is, listen. Listen. What drives that person? And by the way, if you want to be fancy, you can also say, articulate the way you are criticizing that person. A sledgehammer approach is completely useless. The most potent one is, in any criticism, is if you present it in a way where the subordinate can say, you're right. When the individual is allowed psychologically to agree, if you present it in such a empathetic way, benign way, that the person can say, you know, I'm glad that you brought that to my attention. You're right. I'm going to watch out for that. Did you want to ask me? 16. What are your avocational interests? What are your avocational interests? Is the individual, you're inquiring, is the individual in his avocational time more interested in learning or playing? There are people who go to museums. There are others who read Playboy. There are two different people. And I'll tell you why that is. And also, incidentally, in addition to that, you will learn something about the individual's curiosity. Is this a curious individual? People, you can also ask, for instance, how did you choose your subject in school? If the person said, and why? If the person says, well, I chose baseball as opposed to chemistry, we have two different people. Now, I would like to tell you why this is important. There was somebody who had lunch with me today, maybe the person is in the room, and he said, we were talking about the ability to judge an individual's growth potential. The ability to judge an individual's growth potential is a breakthrough in the behavioral sciences no older than 2 years. Before that, nobody could. And I asked the YPO, how do you, he's just making a very important selection decision. And I said to him, well, how do you know, for a divisional president for his company, he said, how do you know that person has growth potential? He said, I just know. And I said, how? Tell me how. And he said, because of the fact that the individual grew during the last 10 years tremendously, up, fast track kind of guy. And I said that the past is an unreliable indicator of the future, and furthermore, the growth potential is totally unrelated to age. Your man, whom you just hired, could have stopped growing 2 years ago, or half a year ago. So therefore, we can now measure the growth potential of an individual by establishing two things. One of them is he bright? And the other one, is he curious? That's another reason why you want to ask about that, what do you do in your avocational time? Curious people do different things than people who are not curious. Are you curious? And I would like to tell you why that establishes growth potential. A person who is bright enough to absorb new information, but not curious enough to seek it, cannot grow. A person who is curious enough to seek it, but not bright enough to absorb it, cannot grow either. So, and what we now know is, while we have not yet been able to establish that a person can grow and how far, I think we will break that through during the next 3 to 5 years. But we can now say, at the moment, the individual has growth potential or not.
What would you decide applications that are, indicate curiosity?
Well, let me give you, in order that you can, I don't give you a pat answer, I give you the definition of curiosity, and then you can do use anything you want. The definition of curiosity is as follows. Maybe you want to write it down. The curiosity is the desire to explore, the enjoyment of learning, and the motivation to acquire new information. I repeat that. It is the desire to explore, the enjoyment of learning, the enjoyment of learning, and the motivation to acquire new information. Now, number 17. What would you do if you detect a peer failing, falsifying expense record? You are now inquiring again into the two things. Number one, is the individual a passive or an active individual? Is he a actor or a reactor? That's number one. And number two is that you're inquiring into the standards of morality, honesty, and ethics of the person. A person who would say, that's none of my business, and I'm not going to be his boss, and I'm going to do nothing, is a different individual who says, I would go up and speak to him about it. And I'm making no judgment as to what the person, the candidate, should say. But I am asking you that whatever he says, you ask one question, which is, why are you doing that? What's your reason? There are people who say, well, I don't care. What does it do to me? As long as he doesn't steal me and leaves my pocketbook alone, that's cool. Another one says, I would be very concerned about that. I would worry. I would go for advice and ask somebody, what is the best thing to do now? That's a completely different person. But somebody who says, doesn't bother me, is, in my opinion, I would want to know more about that individual's integrity. If he works with somebody in the organization, and loyalty too, by the way, who steals, falsifies.
What's the answer you most often get to that?
Come?
What's the answer you most often get to that question?
Most people are acting. They have a variety of responses which are active. They say they will do something about it. I have heard somebody say, incidentally, this was the most interesting answer I got. He says, I would find out whether that is common among all people in sales in our organization, and if it is so, I would quit. It was, he did really not want to confront it, but he was active enough to say, in that organization, I don't want to be. These are not the kind of people I want to associate with. But in any case, I hate to tell you what is the right and wrong answer, because you may think there's something right and wrong. There is no such thing as right and wrong. There is that you only say, explain to me why. Why is that? What's your reason for choosing the course of action that you do? 18. If an emergency arises, are you most interested in the cause or the solution of the problem? There are two knowledges which you will gain from that. Number one, is the individual capable of thinking logically? People who, when an emergency arises, can identify and deal with the cause and effect relationship are generally people who are used to thinking logically and are usually bright people. But furthermore, you will understand something when you go into that and say, why would you do this or that? You will understand something which is important in terms of the individual's process of decision making. How does the person make decisions? People may say, well, it's important. Far more important than the cause is the solution. Another person may say the other way around. In either case, you want to know more about it. You say, why? How come? What makes you think so? Let us skip number 19, because that has to do, again, to do with curiosity, which we already explored, except in a different form. And I'd like to give you a chance to spend a little time with you on number 20. What would you do if the company you just joined gave you $3,000 to spend anywhere you felt appropriate? There are two answers I am throwing out in the audience now, and you give me your reaction. One of them is, I would like to know more about long-range planning. What would that say to us? You're absolutely right. But it says something else, which is equally important.
Looking after the money.
Yes, it's a possibility, but this
planner.
Is.
Huh? He's a planner.
He needs a planner.
He's spending it on the company instead of himself.
Right. Yeah, but it's for the company. Now, what you are learning here is the person walks you into his area of weakness. If he would think he would be strong, would he tell you that he wants to learn longer and strength? What I'm saying is the interview is the ability to identify what speaks for and against it. What are the area of strength and what are the area of weaknesses of the person? If you ask an individual, if you get $3,000, what would you spend it on? The individual will most likely identify the area in which he should know more, which means he isn't good. If you are a tax consultant or a tax accountant in an organization, you're not so going to say, I would like to know more about tax accounting. You are going to choose something in which your area of competence needs improvement. But furthermore, let's suppose the person says, I would take a course in sailing. What do you think that would mean? If he says, we give you $3,000 to learn something, and he says, I want to learn sailing or horse racing or something like that. Now, wouldn't you want to know more about that and say, why? What is it that stimulates you to take the company, of course don't say it that way, to take the company's money so that you can do sailing? I mean, there seems to be something wrong with the attitude of the individual, because it is not expected that an individual gets $3,000 to learn something, he goes and learns sailing.
Sorry, wouldn't an individual spend the money on the area he was best at, because that's what he likes doing?
No. If you have to improve your skills, you phrase it in such a way, you say, if you could to learn something which you are not so good in, you can say that, or which you need improvement in.
Except even at this university, I think the people who go to the interpersonal classes are probably the people who least have to go to them.
That's right. You're making my point? Because they are not so good, they go to the interpersonal relationship?
No, the opposite.
Because they are good at it?
Yes, because they're sensitive to it, that's why they go to it. People who don't even know the difference don't go.
Matter of opinion. Yes, sir. Hold it, I'll take it. Yes, sir.
What kinds of questions can you use to get at work habits, such as time management or organization?
Well, what?
I have a difficult time sometimes finding out ahead of time whether the person is good at it. Are they punctual? Are they good at managing priorities? Those kinds of things. Do some of these questions get at those issues?
Well, I'll give you a specific thing. What would you like to find out?
For example, can the person prioritize what needs to be done in their job well? Are they good at organizing?
How do you feel about priorities? And how do you feel about other people who are very good in prioritizing certain tasks? Never says, do you. Never go directly. Always come in through the back door.
You can be said that the past is seldom a good predictor of future performance.
That's right.
And yet you also said that people very seldom change in their personality.
Yes. One is unrelated to the other. If you say the person was successful in the past, and therefore the person will be in the same position, successful in the future, you're taking an awful chance. Because the environment in which the person works, the policies of the company, the peer structure, the subordinate structure, and most of all the boss, will change. So many dynamics change. The basic personality of a person doesn't change after 18. One last question, go ahead. One more question. He said tape-recorded interviews. What about tape-recorded interviews? Tape-recorded interviews are exactly the same as a movie camera in the interview, in the interviewing room, or a third person in the interview. I will see you later, and I'll answer your question. They are all stress-producing. Interviewing is a conversation between two people, and a relationship between two people which must be completely void of stress and tension. Tape recorders are immediately stress-producing.
Okay,
thank you very much.